Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome this afternoon, wherever you are, if you're in the carpool lane, if you're at work, if you're at home, if you're on a run or walking in the neighborhood. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in today. Listen, we are families who are in search of one thing. We are in search of hope, and you are going to find that here. We are the home of prescribing hope for healthy families, and I believe that it is possible. Now, in today's day and age, especially in a presidential year cycle, it just seems like the news just feels very ominous and very dire. And we think, oh my goodness, are we going to all make it together, raising our kids and raising our little kids and our high school kids and launching our kids into adulthood and even beyond? Yes, we will make it together because we serve a God who gives us a hope that does not disappoint. And I'm so glad that you have come here today to find that. Listen, I have got a super fun show for you today. I'm so excited about our guest. It is related to my Texas roots, which you know I love all things Texas. I've grown up there. But let me leave you hanging there for just a minute because we're going to talk about rodeos, but that is a shameless teaser because I've got some announcements to make first. So first of all, very important for you to know before we get to that, our ministry partner at American Family Association, 8 Days of Hope. Now, you may remember we had Steve Tiber on back in January for 8 Days of Hope in relation to their work on building shelters for people who have experienced trafficking, but that is not all they do. They are deploying their rapid response team to Sheldon, Iowa. Now, that area recently received some record rainfall, which resulted in a levee breaking. So overnight, that area flooded and many families had to evacuate their homes during the early morning hours on Saturday, June 22nd. And so many in Iowa are hurting. Now, I live in Houston and I know the pain of flooding, and it is so hard because once something's wet, everything is wet and you're displaced, and it is just hot and sticky and miserable and really stressful. So 8 Days of Hope is going to begin outreach on Thursday. That's tomorrow, June 27th through Saturday, July 6th. They're looking for volunteers. And you can start arriving tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. If this is you and you have time or you want to serve with your family, you can go to 8daysofhope.com for more information. The first meal they'll be serving is dinner tomorrow night. And the last meal they will serve will be breakfast on Saturday, July 6th. Now, the relief headquarters are located at Living Water Community Church. So visit 8 Days of Hope for more information on exactly what kinds of volunteer services they need. You can call them or contact them for any of that information. So with that said, the other announcement I have is making sure that you know about our 52 Habits for Healthy Families. We've been doing this since January. If you've missed any of these habits, if you say, Jessica, what are you talking about? I'm talking about every week we are introducing a stackable habit on this show, some foundational building blocks for healthy families. If you've missed it, you can go to any podcast app and you can look for Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes, and I will review all of the habits that we've gotten to so far. This week we are on 27, week 27, which is just absolutely unbelievable. We're almost pretty much halfway through the year. You know that means I'm going to talk about Christmas. But this week I'll be talking about tidying up your technology. If you're wondering what is that, tune in on Friday. I'll be talking about how to tidy up your tech. We've been talking about a lot of tech habits, especially during the summer. We have kids that are at home and they're going to do what they see, not what so much what we're saying. So that is what we are going to be looking at is tidying up our tech. So for that, let me get to our guest today. I am so excited to introduce to you Bubba Miller. Bubba is the rodeo coach. Did you even know there was such a thing? There is a real life rodeo coach at Sam Houston State University. He is lead pastor of Branded for Church Christ Ministry in Huntsville, Texas. Bubba and his wife Tammy, they had a vision for a cowboy church when they were newlyweds. And 20 years later, that church is continuing to share the gospel with the community. Bubba, I am so excited to have you here on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I am thrilled to be with you guys. This is such a wonderful time. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, this is just so fun to me because everywhere I go and when I travel, people seem to be fascinated about rodeo and rodeo culture. And yes, we wear boots and yes, people ride bulls. Your own son rides a bull. I mean, it is just really exciting. But before we get to all of that, I want to know a little bit about your life story, because how does this happen? And, you know, what is a little bit of how you grew up and how you came to know the Lord?
Well, I was born and raised in a little town in East Texas, Woodville, Texas. And, you know, I tell everybody I didn't realize it, but I was in seminary my whole life because my parents raised me in church. So I was in church my entire life there in Woodville and just, you know, loved the Lord at an early age. And then, you know, of course, whenever high school was over and, of course, went to the college and, you know, spent a little bit of time away from God. And but then there was a little bull riding outside of Huntsville. I was going to school at Sam Houston State, and there was a little bull riding in Trinity, Texas. And I was just over there riding bulls, and, man, I rededicated my life. And it was a time that I just met my wife. We just started dating, and, you know, she was a young lady who was never raised in church. We were total opposites on that end of the spectrum. So as I rededicated my life, she began to just ask me questions about who God was and, you know, why would I serve God? And, you know, why would Jesus die on the cross? I mean, just simple things that many of us just take for granted. Everyone knows. So then we begin to just share the love of God with her, and she got saved on my couch in my apartment one night. And then that was just an amazing time, because I think that that time of going back to those bull riding days, is that was whenever God just opened my eyes back up to his love and his grace that really propelled us to do what we do today.
I love that. And, you know, I'm not a proponent of missionary dating, but I also, my husband became a believer earlier in our dating days. And same thing, he would just ask me all kinds of questions. And I saw his heart on fire, and it really transformed mine. Honestly, Bubba, it really did. So I can see how God was at work there. But I want to know now, how did a small town cowboy transition to a collegiate rodeo coach and a pastor? Tell us about that journey. And what even is a collegiate rodeo coach? I can't even say it, because I guarantee there's a lot of listeners who are saying, I didn't know this was a thing. And there may be even some young boys listening thinking, oh, this might be a career for me.
There you go. There you go. Well, I'm going to go down the pastoral road first, because that was where, before I was coaching, I was a pastor. So, because I got called to the ministry in 1998. God showed me then where we're going to buy the land and build the church. And that's just testimonies on top of testimony, because it was impossible financially, but God continued to open doors. So in 2000, we bought the property. In 2004, we actually, you know, birthed the church. So I can go back to the early days, and I was telling people we're going to build a church. We're going to have free buckouts every Sunday, and people are going to come and get on bulls and bucking horses, and they're going to learn about Jesus. So from 2004 to 2008, I was shoeing horses for a living, but pastoring the church and growing the church. And then in 2008, I got a call from Sam Houston State University, one of the ladies there, that said that they were going to hire the first rodeo coach there that didn't have to be a professor teaching classes, and wondered if I'd be interested. So I went to the university. I met with the chair and the dean and stuff, and went to a few interviews. And next thing you know, I was the head coach of Sam Houston State University rodeo team. And, man, now I get to share my passion for rodeoing and all the sports in rodeo. But most important, I get to share my love of Jesus. So it's just been a huge open door in my life.
I love that. Let's talk about your rodeo coach role first, because I've got so many questions. And in reading about this, you know, you're not just teaching them skills that they need, like bull riding or roping or, you know, all those things that you just said. You're also teaching them character. So talk about, what does it look like to be a collegiate rodeo athlete, and where is your role in all of that?
You know, when we talk to kids about character, you know, we talk, you know, they're not only an example of themselves. You know, I tell them they're coming in out of high school or from transfer students. You're not only representing yourself, but you're representing your parents, you're representing your school, your team, and just encouraging the kids to be a role model that the younger generation wants to look up to, that someone wants to follow. You're going to be a leader, or you're going to be a follower. So let's lead those that are going to be coming behind us, and let's set great examples, you know, both in the arena by being champions. We've raised many national champions, but also being a champion in life and being something that someone would want to, of course, as an educator, someone that they're going to want to hire one day, somebody can be part of their team and their business, and also in the team in the arena. So it's just really just been a great aspect of my job, is encouraging kids that what they do through their collegiate years is going to make a difference later on down the road.
Well, I'm reading from a news article that I read about you, and it says that you, this was a quote from you in the article, reflecting on his coaching tenure, Miller observes a recurring theme. The students that display a good work ethic in and out of the arena while in college are the ones we see being the most successful later on in life. He underscores the importance of outstanding character, asserting that it can propel individuals further in life than mere arena success. Miller's advice is clear. While rodeo skills are crucial for recruitment, combining them with high character ensures a solid foundation for success. And you know, Bubba, I hear a lot of negative talk about college students these days, about college campuses. And I teach on one, and so I understand that, and I see that. And we do see things that are really discouraging and really disheartening. Can you share with us some positive things? I love to share the good stories. What do you see college students doing? What encourages you about this generation? What do you see your rodeo athletes doing that you'd love to celebrate?
You know, one of the things is rodeo in itself is a very individual sport. You go and compete for yourself. So it's really, if you're not careful, it can be very much about the big eye. The one thing that our team has really founded itself on is our students working together as the whole unit, as the team. When one of our athletes win, the whole team wins. And, you know, that's going to, I believe, transfer whenever they get married, whenever they're building a career, when they're on the job. You know, when you're working for an employer, whenever one person in that employment wins, the whole employment wins. And that's really just been a huge aspect of what I try to really implement in our kids, is understanding that we're here at Sam Houston. These kids that we have, they work so hard. They show up to workouts. We have workouts at 6:30 in the morning. They'll be there working out. You know, be a lot easier to be sleeping. Then we have practice in the afternoons, and they have to maintain a good GPA to college rodeo and for scholarship purposes. So when you see these students very well rounded, whenever they get through with our university and they graduate, they're, you know, I think make a big impact on their workforce.
Well, that's always encouraging to hear. Can you tell us a little more, Bubba, about how do you get started in rodeo? And actually, my board operator is telling me we're coming up on a break here. So these are the questions that I have coming up. I want to know more about that rodeo program. Like, what does it mean to be in the rodeo? Now, I've been to the rodeo many, many times, and I have to confess, I know it's so cliche, Bubba, but bull riding is my favorite. There is just something so electric that goes on in the arena when you see that. But all the other events are great too. Barrel racing, team roping, tie down roping. See, this is where I'm showing I love, love, love the rodeo. So I would love, when we come back, for you to talk a little bit more about what that is and how students can have a college career doing that, or how they might even be able to pursue a scholarship or a program of study and what that looks like. Because I think that we do have listeners out here that are listening thinking, that's kind of interesting. How could we do that, or how could we support that? And I also have a lot more questions about your church, about Branded for Christ Church and a Cowboy Church. And I'll end here this segment with a little story. Sorry, Bubba. So I let my kids go to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. They have something called mutton busting, which is where little kids get on a sheep. And let me tell you, that sheep can jump and it can run, and they ride them just like they're riding bulls. And it entertains the whole crowd. You hear all of these little 5 and 6 year olds saying, I want to be a policeman or an astronaut. And then they jump on that sheep and they run, and it is something to be seen. Yes, I let them do it. Yes, they did wear a helmet. I am a pediatric nurse practitioner after all. Well, listen, don't go away. I've got a lot more questions about rodeo coming back. We will talk more with Bubba Miller rodeo coach at Sam Houston State, and pastor of Branded for Christ Ministry in Huntsville, Texas. We'll see you on the other side of the break. This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade, but did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
The Lord is my shepherd, and he is everything I need. So I will not worry, I will not fear the end. Said that he loves me. He said that he's with me even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know.
Welcome back, friends. We are having a really great conversation with Bubba Miller. He is a rodeo coach at Sam Houston State University and lead pastor of Branded for Christ Ministry in Huntsville, Texas. Now, if you travel on I-45 ever in Texas and you're driving between Houston and Dallas, then you will pass by this Branded for Christ Church. And if you've driven there, you've passed by it. And that is where Bubba and his family are serving. Before the break, we were diving into what exactly does it mean to have a career in rodeo. Now, many of you are like, oh my goodness, I know this. And many of you are just absolutely fascinated. One of my favorite things to do is to bring people who have never been to a rodeo to the Houston Rodeo and just to watch their face. It's so fun to see because it is just an absolutely incredible display of athleticism, of talent, of beautiful animals that we are seeing. So, Bubba, I would love to just ask some more questions because I know my listeners are thinking, tell me, what does it mean to be a rodeo athlete? So what kinds of things do you coach for in your program? What does that look like? Say you have a little 5-year-old kid who's thinking, I'm doing the mutton busting and maybe I want to be in the rodeo. What does that career look like?
Well, it looks like a lot of work. I mean, these youngsters, I was blessed to have 2 kids that's grown up in the rodeo and watching so many kids grow up. And you got a 5-year-old, like your kids started off in the mutton busting, and then they want to get involved in the youth rodeos and the different events, whether it's starting with the dummy ropings before they start roping calves, or riding calves after they were riding the sheep. And then they just work their ways up through the elementary ranks to the junior ranks. And then, you know, high school rodeo in Texas is huge. And we just got through with our Texas high school state finals in Abilene. Huge turnout there. Just a lot of really great kids. And that's whenever I step in. That's whenever these kids are graduating high school. Of course, I'm recruiting, you know, athletes to come to the university. And so it's just most of these kids started young. But then again, there's always these kids that are, you know, started late. You know, some in high school, their junior or senior year, decided, hey, this is what I want to do. And they've worked really hard and put forth the work to be able to come compete at a collegiate level. And I've even had some college students show up to the university and come by my office and say, Coach, what can I do in rodeo? And, of course, we try to figure out their strengths and their talents and get them shaped up. Before long, they'll be competing in the arena as well. So they can start as young as, you know, 3 or 4 riding the mutton, or they can start when they're getting college. But, yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, I think one of the interesting things for you is you're a dad, and you have also coached your kids. And one of your sons in particular is a pretty good bull rider. So what has that been like for you to coach your son?
Okay. Yeah, Bradley, my oldest, I got a boy and a boy that's 21 and a girl that's 17. Bradley, he started riding calves and mutton busting 3, 4, 5 years old. We tried to put him in football. We put him in basketball. We put him in baseball. Tried to find out, you know, what he wanted to do. But, man, his passion was to rodeo. And I'm not going to say I was complaining by any means, because that was my passion.
I bet Mama was like baseball fan. Mama was cheering for baseball. Yeah. I'm just going to bet.
Or golf, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. So Bradley went through all the ranks we just talked about. And then in high school, he really got to excel in the bull riding and the bareback riding. Bareback riding is when they actually ride a bucking horse. And that's really where he's excelling now. He went to the college national finals as a freshman and a sophomore in the bareback riding and the bull riding. But now he's college rodeo, and he's just riding bareback horses. But one thing different about college and rodeo than other sports is we can rodeo professionally while we're in college. And he's sitting number 9 in the world in the bareback riding, as well as he was the Southern Region, you know, bareback riding champion. So when it comes to college rodeo, you know, he's great. And also in the professional, he should make his first trip to Las Vegas, Nevada, to the National Finals Rodeo this December.
Well, you know, I'm thinking as a mama myself, and thinking as a nurse, I'm not going to lie. And honestly, Bubba, you know, bull riding is dangerous. I mean, it's scary. So how does your faith interplay there? What is the mindset when you're engaging in a sport that is dangerous, just like football would be dangerous? I would argue, I think bull riding is probably going to be a little more dangerous than that. But how does your faith intersect your view of that and how you coach him and prepare him?
You know, one, you got to be mentally prepared. You know, of course, we know there's dangers, like you said, whether it be football or whatever, a rodeo bar, bull riding is by far, you know, the most dangerous event, you know, there is riding bulls. And, you know, just got to believe that God gave you these talents, these abilities for his glory, and to use them for his kingdom. And, you know, that's what our church is about, is taking what we knew in the sport of rodeo and doing it on a weekly basis here. And that is what's really built our church to what it is today, was our arena ministry, which, you know, there's a lot of ministries and churches. And now just having the faith that, God, you carried myself through my career with no serious injuries. God, I'm believing that you're going to carry my son through his career so we can continue to do what we're called to do here. So just, you know, just saying, God, you know, my wife and I, we prayed, we released him to the Lord. God, he's yours. You know, we dedicated you as a child, and you give him these talents, you give him these desires, and God's just opened the windows of heaven and just blessed him. And it's just been, you know, just miraculous to watch.
I think that's really inspiring, Bubba, because, I mean, you just said, we prayed, God, we released him to you. He is yours. We trust you with him. That's a lot easier to do if your son is an accountant, you know, like, okay, Lord, we release him to you. Yes, there's dangers there, but they don't have horns and, you know, weigh however many tons. But one of the quotes that I read in a news story about Bradley that he said about you, I want to share with our listeners. Bradley said, I am really fortunate to have him, meaning you, as a dad and a coach. He has never pushed me to rodeo or not rodeo. He has just always been my biggest supporter, no matter what I'm doing. I wouldn't be where I'm at today without him. What does it feel like to have your son give you that kind of affirmation?
Oh, I'm making my tears in my eyes.
I brought tears to my eyes.
I don't know if I've ever read that. Anyway, yeah. Wow. Okay. Get it together, Bella.
I know. It's okay. Get a tissue. That's okay. That's how we roll here.
That's it. Well, you know, that's been our slogan for my wife and I. You know, I was blessed. I had a great career. But when we had kids, you know, we always talked about, well, we're going to do it in our home. is train our kids up to love God and just build memories and just let our kids, whatever they wanted to do, I mean, forever, when Bradley was small, he's going to be a brain surgeon. And then next thing you know, he wants to be a construction engineer. So now he's going to school for engineering. So whatever they wanted to do, as long as we're serving God, mom and dad was for it. And we never said, you can't play football. You have to do this. And, man, it's just been, I think, just living the love of Christ before them and them seeing that no matter what, you know, God's placed on your heart, you know, he'll bring it into issue. He'll make it happen if you'll just trust God. And that's right where he's at. I mean, he's living an amazing, blessed life in the arena. But as a college student, he's blessed as well. So, I mean, he'll graduate this next May. And it's been miraculous to watch.
It really is. And I think any parent who's listening, honestly, Bubba, they're listening to this program, to this radio station, because they want a family like that. They want to raise kids who love God, who serve others, and who will turn around. I mean, any parent's dream would be to have a quote. It wouldn't even have to be in a newspaper like this. Like, some parents are thinking, if you just said that to me in private one day and nobody knew, I think I could die happy. But there are a lot of parents who don't have that. And, you know, I think, Bubba, you know, what I hear is they, you know, you're looking for that secret something, that mystery moment, that kind of life hack or breakthrough that's just going to happen. But I think you would agree with me, Bubba, that it happens in those everyday mundane moments of discipline. And I can imagine for you and your family, I mean, rodeo life is hard. You got to travel a lot to go to competitions. It's physically hard. And, you know, you're being a pastor at the same time, but it's in those everyday moments of discipleship. So what are those everyday things? What are the faith practices that you think, you know, sound so small, but really, you know, are the big things? What are those things you did in your family?
You know, spending time together, you know, whenever, I guess we were just before I started coaching, you know, my wife was a school, elementary school teacher. And whenever I had applied to coach the university and I felt for sure that's what God called us to do, she had to sign a letter, whether she was coming back the following year or not. And, I said, no, we're going to be together as a family. So she didn't take her job back at the elementary school where she'd been teaching for about 10 years. And then we spent a lifetime from then on just raising our kids. I mean, we're at the college practice. You know, my daughter brings her horse and practices there. My son's always come to the practices. My wife's been there to cook and, you know, help. And, you know, so it's just been that time spent together. So I think the biggest thing that we could say as a family we did is that we were together, whether we were at the arena or we were at home or when we were at church. It was all about being together as a family. And I think that's really what's made a huge difference in our kids, in our marriage, in our home.
I agree 100%. So my family does this too. Whether, you know, one somebody has a baseball game or somebody's cheerleading at a basketball game or whatever it is, we're all going to go together as much as we can. There was no option to, oh, you're just staying at home and you get to rest because some, you know, you don't have to go. We are always together. And Bubba, I hear a lot of families today who are saying, yeah, I want that. I want to spend that time together, but my kids really don't have any interest in spending time with me. What kind of encouragement could you give them in just cultivating those moments and relationships and being patient to spend that time together? Where would you, as a pastor and a dad, advise families to start if they think, yeah, I know we need to do that, but I just don't know what to do?
Man, I think you've got to find where they're interested in, and two, make it fun. I can remember early on in both of our kids, you know, career, whether they did good at the rodeos or didn't, it wasn't ever about whether we won or we lost. It was all about we tried, we laid everything on the line, we did our best. But we never made it to where, you know, if we'd lost, it was a bad time. Everything was, you know, always encouraging our kids that, hey, we made a memory, we learned something. And I think as parents are raising kids, they need to make sure they're investing in what their kids want to do. And it's not so much in making their kids have to be the best. You know, and I think a lot of times if we're not careful, we put so much pressure on kids that they got to be as, you know, as developed as that kid that's, you know, playing second base when they're on third, you know, and having a different understand where your kid's at. And we've never tried to make our kids be better than they were, but just excelling in the position in life that they were in the developmental place they were at, and just making it enjoyable and just being there for them and making sure that, you know, I can tell you, I'll cry again. There's no bigger cheerleader for my kids than their mama.
Oh, goodness. And you're going to get me, Bubba. Always, you're going to get me.
Just knowing that that voice is in those stands, no matter what, good ride, bad ride, whether I hit the barrel or didn't hit the barrel, whatever, you know, whatever, that voice was there. It was going to cheer them on. And knowing we got back in the truck, it was just going to be a great, enjoyable ride home, no matter what the circumstances were. I believe that helped develop a love for our kids that they were able to grow what, you know, kind of what God put on their heart, what God's called them to do. I mean, there's no doubt. My two kids are called by God to rodeo. I don't second guess that. But it's just me as the pastor, their dad, their friend, their coach. How do I do my job to make sure we excel in the best we can? And I think that's one of the biggest things we do is we make every experience that we can a great experience.
Well, you got me with tears in my eyes now, too, because kudos to all the mamas who are standing in all the stands, who are sitting in all of the auditoriums, listening to all the band concerts and all of the sports games and all of the academic things and all those things, because you're so right, Bubba. That matters so much. And I see a lot of mamas who really, you know, just make that not as important. And we think, well, yeah, we're doing that, but we're expected to do that because we're moms and that's what we do. But it is so important. It is that consistent presence over time, looking back, just like you were so beautifully describing. Good ride, bad ride, mama's there, and mama's gonna wash all of the dirty uniforms, you know, and you know, make all of those things good. That is just so, so very important and so encouraging. Well, Bubba, I still have so many more questions. We're coming up on our next break, but next time I want to talk, in the next segment, I want to talk about your church. And you said that was miracle on miracles. And I want to hear more about that. And I also want to ask you about some advice that you might have for dads out there connecting with their daughters, because your son's bull riding. He's obviously following in your footsteps, and that would be easier to bond, I think. But there are a lot of dads out there who think, okay, well, how do I connect with my daughter? So I want to hear your advice on that. We will be back after this break with more of Bubba Miller, the rodeo coach at Sam Houston State University and lead pastor of Branded for Christ Ministry in Huntsville, Texas. Also want to remind you at the top of the hour, I told you about 8 Days of Hope, who is deploying a rapid response team to Sheldon, Iowa, in response to flooding that happened here. If you want to be part of that volunteer effort, you can go to 8daysofhope.com and find out more. You can show up or you can give. There's so many things that you can do, and we'll be right back with more of Bubba Miller. Don't go away. I'll see you on the other side of this break, and I'm going to promise to try not to get all choked up in the third segment, but I can't promise. We'll see you there.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
And I sang in Christ alone, my solid ground. Oh, amazing.
Welcome back. We are hearing the song of Bubba Miller today is what we're hearing. We are hearing his song of testimony, of faithfulness, and of just walking with the Lord as a rodeo coach at Sam Houston State University and lead pastor of Branded for Christ Ministry in Huntsville, Texas. So, Bubba, before the break, we were talking about your son, and man, we both had a little teary moment giving a shout out to all the mamas who are out there. I love that so much. But I want you to tell us about connecting as a dad with your daughter. What does that look like, and how have you had to learn to be different in the way that you connect, and what advice would you have for dads out there who are looking to connect with their own daughters?
Man, they're just wanting time. I mean, I believe that's the, I know my daughter's love language is time. You know, as being a man in the house, having to pay the bills and do all the things a man does, if you're not careful, you can neglect that what daughters are needing is time. And I can tell you the more time I spend with my daughter, the more time I spend doing what she wants to do, more time at the arena, more time just in the truck driving back and forth to rodeos and just hearing their heart and, you know, just watching them grow and, you know, get through these teenage years and just seeing God just do things in their life and just show himself real to them has just been extraordinary. But I think the key focus to raising a daughter, one, is showing them love, and two, showing them time.
Amen and amen. I could not agree with that more. And again, so many parents tell me, no, my daughter doesn't want to spend time with you. And I say, no, your daughter just acts like she doesn't want to spend time with you, because it's such a vulnerable place, you know, to say, yeah, I want to spend time with you. So if you are that dad who is making an effort and you're trying to do that, keep on trying and do what they like to do. I mean, that's really a great thing. Say, you can ask them this question. Say, what would you do? What would you ask me to do with you if you knew I wouldn't say no? What would you ask me to do with you? And maybe that's rock climbing. Maybe that's bull riding. I don't know. You know, whatever it might be. It might be playing a video game. Whatever it is that's your kid's interest, if they have that opportunity, that's a great way to start. And just be persistent. And if they say no at first, just be persistent and be patient and keep asking. And it will eventually come there. Well, Bubba, I want to go back. You talked earlier in the program about miracle on miracles, I think is what you said, in the start of your church. Can we go back to that story and how you got the property and how you as a newlywed had this vision? I mean, that's not very common. How did that happen?
Well, we had just gotten married, and I was a horseshoer by trade, and I was just in the pasture shoeing some horses, and man, just the Spirit of God just began to speak to me, and I just went over and I just was praying at a fence, and just, man, the Spirit just led me that we were going to buy this place and build a church on it, and I found out who owned it. It was a corporation, and for 2 years we prayed, and it wasn't for sale, and man, then all of a sudden where we had lived had came up for sale, so I went back, and you know, with really no money, my wife and I had about $300. I was rodeoing, and man, it was a dry season at the time. And this Gibbs Brothers, they got behind our vision. I told them my vision, why I wanted the property. Man, they helped us make it happen. And then it was like God just opened the windows of heaven, and just we started winning, things started happening. And next thing you know, I'm building a building on the side of the Interstate 45 as a horseshoeing center that we thought we're going to provide the funds to build the church. Then we ended up moving the church inside the horseshoeing center. And then we outgrew that. I bought a tent. You know, you've seen these tents. And Hurricane Rita put our tent out on Interstate 45. Then we cut the stalls out of the horseshoeing center and made the church bigger. And, man, we just grown. And now we just, this September the 3rd, celebrated 20 years, and we just moved into our new sanctuary, which is about a 15,000 square foot sanctuary, which is just God just has blessed us with. And man, it's just been an exciting just move of God for 20 years that God's just continually opens a door and just keeps growing the vision and growing the ministry.
Well, you know what's so awesome, Bubba, is I don't think there's very many people whose testimony starts as in, well, I was shoeing horses out in the pasture and the Spirit of God started to speak to me. That is awesome. But, you know, there are a lot of people who might say, I was sitting at my desk. I was, you know, scrubbing dirty dishes. I was putting in a load of laundry. I was driving my truck down the interstate. I mean, all of those points in the mundane. And what I get from that, Bubba, is whatever you're doing, you know, do it heartily and work unto the Lord as not unto men. And wherever you are, listen for that voice of God. And you know, you've talked about so many great things happening, but I mean, having your tent thrown on the interstate by a hurricane, I mean, those are setbacks. Those are tough times. Those are things that you work through. And still, I hear the joy in your heart, which is just amazing. So what does a typical Sunday look like when you go to a cowboy church? Create a picture for us. What does this look like?
Okay. Well, we start bucking bulls and horses at 3 p.m. at our church. We don't have a morning service because we still do a lot of the high school rodeos and college ministries and college rodeos that I'm involved in. So Sunday mornings have never worked in our church. We never even tried one, honestly. But so we just have a Sunday evening at 5 o'clock service. So at 3 p.m. we buck bulls and we buck horses, and people show up here. Some are just to watch. Some are just to, you know, just to see. You know, I've got people just stop in just because they see trucks and trailers and horses on the side of the highway. And they don't realize it's just the onset of church that's fixing to happen here in a couple hours. And it was just kind of, lack of better words, bait for years just to try to get people on the property. And then, of course, a lot of them would stay for church. You could come and ride all the bulls or bucking horses you wanted to and leave. You'd never made anyone stay for church. But I always told our church, if we get 15 minutes or 2 hours of love on people, it won't be long. They're going to want to know where that love comes from, and that's when we're going to get to tell them about Jesus. So let's just love on them for the time that they're here. And time after time, there would be times where people would come and kids would be getting on bulls or bucking horses, or their parents would dream them, drop them off or whatever. And it wasn't long until we started seeing them in church on a Sunday evening. And then before you long, they were just faithful church members. And so the vision's held true. We just keep our hand on the plow, keep serving God, and God just keeps showing himself real.
I can't tell you how much I'm loving this conversation as a Texas girl, Bubba, because I asked you, how does church start? And you said, well, at 3 o'clock, we start bucking bulls or whatever it is you said. You start bucking broncos and riding bulls. Yeah. That is not typical. I think we could agree that you would call Branded for Christ Church not a traditional church. Am I right there? That doesn't sound very traditional.
There is nothing traditional about it. It's just, you know, it's just the vision that God gave my wife. Now, when Tammy and I got the vision, there's enough great, amazing churches in every city across America. I'm sure there's a lot of amazing churches. God didn't call us to pastor in a great built American church. God called us to out in this field that was full of goat weeds and a half burnt down building when we bought it, to build a church that was different, still preaching the same gospel, still preaching that Jesus is the only way. But just doing it in a way that God put on our heart. And by doing that, it's just miraculous to see what God's done here. And it's only been because of his glory and his grace.
So what kind of families do you serve? What does your church look like? Who comes and how does it work?
You know, used to, when we first started, we had cowboy church on it. We took the cowboy church on because we've got doctors, we've got lawyers, we've got nurses, we have. So at first,
you might have one more nurse on Sunday, Bubba. I'm just saying. You might have another nurse on Sunday. I might just drive up 45 and find it.
Come on. Yes. So now we have we have people who in our church that have never been on a horse, people who wouldn't even dream about going to the arena ministry, but they like our college ministry or they like or another part of our ministry, and they really got involved in that. The arena ministry was just the launching pad of all the other ministries that our church has now. We've got so many ministries that don't even include rodeo, but it was the launching pad. So I guess where I lived, of course, growing up my whole life was rodeo. So I guess that is our basis, but everything else is just been built off of that.
And, you know, I think that as a pastor, you know, we see a crisis, honestly, among pastors. It's hard. It is very hard work to be a pastor. You know, you are just giving your all the time. And we hear often from pastors who are just discouraged. And we see things that changed after COVID and trying to figure that out and navigate and pull your church through that. What encouragement would you give for other pastors who are out there, whether it's a rodeo church or a church in the middle of a city or a church on a college campus, no matter what church it is, what word would you speak for other pastors?
You know, that good work that he began in you, he will complete. I'm going to tell you, when God's called you, no man can tell you any different. I don't know about that. I'm pretty hard-headed, I guess, because there, even through COVID, through this, through the hard times, you can't change my mind whether God called me or God, and God's never changing. So I would just encourage you, if God's called you to a ministry, God's called you to a church, God's called you there, there's nothing gonna prohibit what God's called you to do. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens with all these different, you know, COVID deals or whatever, God is still the same. And if he's brought you there, he'll bring you through it. And just stay faithful with God and don't let those circumstances change who you are. And don't let the calling of God be robbed from you by the devil.
Well, I think that's so important for us as families, too, to encourage our pastors to, if they're doing good work, tell them they're doing good work. And I know that, you know, I've heard so many pastors say the best thing that you can do is just serve and be involved and let us see your life being transformed by the gospel that's being preached here in this church. That's such a good way to go. And how has it been for your kids, Bubba, being pastor's kids, you know, cue all of the jokes there. How have you navigated that as a dad?
Man, why do you always bring these things to bring tears to my eyes? One thing my wife and I, we tried to make sure, and it's very, very hard, and I'm blessed with having my wife as much pastor as I am, but she's always one to keep them because I can get to really, really serve it. But we can never let the church be before our kids. We are called to be spouses. We're called to be dads. And then we're going to be pastors. And not letting the church get interfere from knowing my role as a dad. And that has been something that has been vital, is trying to keep that balance. If we're not careful, I think we can, yeah, it's a great thing to be involved in everything, but as a pastor, learning to delegate and letting other people do the youth, other people do the college, and letting other things build so I can spend time with my family. And I think that has been the biggest thing of keeping things in check, was not allowing myself to get so focused on the ministry, I forgot about my wife and my kids.
And I think that's true no matter if you're a pastor or if you're an accountant or any other business. It can be hard to do that. And Bubba, you've shared so much wisdom with us as a dad and seeing, you know, I think of the verse, I have no greater joy than to know my children are walking in the truth. And you've shared just the closeness that your family enjoys and the great relationship you have with your kids. What last words of wisdom, encouragement would you give specifically to dads out there who are just really trying to lead their families well?
Lead by example. Don't quit. If you'll continue to lead, they'll follow. But you got to continue to lead. Lead by example and don't quit. And, you know, Satan just wants you to give up. Throw your hands in there. Just keep moving forward. You know, and just don't let the devil beat you, because that's all he wants to do. If he can make you quit, throw your hands in there and say, oh, well, I'm done, then the devil wins. But if you'll stay faithful, serve God every day and everything, God's faithful and he'll bring you through whatever situation you're facing.
Well, if people want to visit your church, Bubba, or give to it or support it, how can they find you? I said on I-45, but that's a pretty long ways. How can they find you?
Well, they can find us, of course, on the internet, brandedforchrist.com. You know, brandedforchrist, forchrist.com is our website. We're on Interstate 45 at exit 132. And all of our podcasts are online. They can view sermons, view what we teach here, view our outreach and the rodeos we produce and the things that we do. It's just a great place. And if they're in the area ever coming down 45, love to have them stop in and worship the Lord with us.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Bubba. Thank you for your heart, for your service, for everything that you do, for your community, for your college, for your family. Thank you for the encouragement that you've shared with us. And I really want to thank you for that tribute that you gave to your wife. That was super sweet. And listen, if you're looking for, to give tribute to the mama in your family, I'd encourage you to stream the movie Unsung Hero. It's just now available for streaming. This is the origin story of the band For King and Country. And spoiler alert, the unsung hero is the mama, and oftentimes it is. But I appreciate so much, Bubba, you sharing your journey as a dad, leading your family well, and how that is the most important thing. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us today. I can't wait to see you back here tomorrow. This is my favorite time of the afternoon to spend together with you, looking for hope for healthy families. We'll see you tomorrow talking about special needs, families with special needs. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He shine His face upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. And we will see you here. Have a great day, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.